I'm glad that was for me. Amen. If you want to be turning in your scriptures to Genesis chapter 4, where we're at this morning, Genesis chapter 4, and then again over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Genesis chapter 4 is where we will begin. That's where we began this morning. Not re-preaching the same message, but I'm going to use that as a springboard and take a step further by the grace of God in His wonderful book. Amen. Great story of Calvary. I hope you see that. We were singing that. I hope that is in your view. Behold Him on Calvary, dying for me and for you. Amen. And what a sight, what a blessed sight that is. Amen. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. I underline that phrase and want to look at it again. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now, Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, here's my phrase, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. I preached this morning on the thought, the blood of Abel has something to say. Turn, if you will, one page probably in your Bible to chapter 12 of Hebrews and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I want to preach tonight on the blood of Jesus has something better to say. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Yes. Bless and help, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Help, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I don't know if you underline in your Bible. I don't think you ought to just draw pictures and make a mess of your Bible, but I believe it's good to make some marks of distinction that might point out some things. Maybe write a little note on the side. I have a wide margin Bible for that reason. That's what I like to carry. I can make notes in it. And then mark, underline, put asterisks and different things that I do with my Bible. But if you do underline your Bible there in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 10, you could underline that phrase that I did this morning. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And then verse number 4 of chapter 11, underline that phrase. He being dead yet speaketh. And then now in the text that we just read, chapter 12, verse 24. and it talks about this phrase. It says, "And the blood of the and to the blood of sprinkling," underline that, "speaketh better things," hallelujah, "than that of Abel." Amen. Now, in the message this morning, I talked to you about some things that Abel's blood had to say. I referenced the fact that as far as we can tell, we don't find one word Abel ever said. But when he died, God recognized his death. God gave testimony that he was righteous. Amen. And we heard that his blood was speaking from the grave. And matter of fact, not just speaking then, but speaking to this day. Yet speaketh. Amen. And I'm glad that it does. And it has something to say to us. I told you five things that I wanted you to notice. First of all, the blood of Abel testified that Cain was a murderer. Cain was guilty of murder. Then secondly, it told that God was right when he said that Eve's sorrow would be multiplied in childbearing and child rearing. And then I said thirdly, it told that God sees everything and there's nothing that can be hidden from his view. Number four, I said that Abel's blood testifies and cried out for vengeance and justice at the slaying of innocent Abel. It said that testified that sin cannot go unpunished, that sin must be punished. And then the last thing I preached about, that it testified that God will only recognize one offering. That's one blood. And it's the blood of the Lamb that God's looking for. Amen. There's only one thing acceptable in the sight of God, and that is the death of His darling Son. Amen. That's the only thing that'll pay the price for sin. Brother Hall mentioned about a tract somebody gave him some time back, and it said you can either let Jesus pay for your sin by His blood, or you can pay for it forever in hell. And Brother Hall said he's right. You'd never get it paid. You can't pay for your sin in hell. You can suffer in hell. You can burn in hell. You can, as they say, you can fry like a sausage in hell, but you'll never get your sins paid for. There's only one thing that'll pay for sin. Amen. Here's what Peter said. Neither is there salvation in any other name. Amen. Only one name. That's the name of Jesus. Amen. That you can be saved by. His blood's the only blood that can wash our sins away. Amen. And so I talked about the blood of Abel, and I showed you some similarities between Abel and Christ, and we had a little bit about that. But I said that Abel's blood had something to say to us, but I want to tell you that the blood of Jesus has much more to say than the blood of Abel does. Amen. And the blood of Jesus has something better to say than what the blood of Abel or anybody else has something to say. Amen. And I want to preach, I've got two main thoughts, two main points, and then subpoints looking back and forth at the testimony of the blood of Abel and the testimony of the blood of Christ. Let me say, first of all, I want to talk about the testimony of the blood to God. I want you to look in Genesis chapter 4 again in the text that we read starting out, something that I noticed in reading this that I hadn't noticed before. Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 10. And he said, this is God speaking, and he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth," look at these two words, "unto me." The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Abel's blood had something to say to God. I want to tell you, the blood of Christ on Calvary had something to say to God. It might not speak to every man. Amen. Some people don't recognize it as its value. They don't recognize it with its worth. But it says something to God. Amen. And I'm glad it does. I'm thinking about this blood and the testimony of the blood to God. Notice that Abel's blood did not cry to Cain, but it cried to God. Abel's blood did not cry out to his mama, Eve. His blood did not cry out to his daddy, Adam, but it cried out to God. Amen. Apparently nobody else heard the cry of Abel's blood, but God heard it distinctly. Amen. God recognized it distinctly. Amen. I want you to think about the blood of Abel as it cried, when it cried out to God. Abel's blood cried out to God that one of God's own creatures had now been broken into pieces. I imagine when Cain killed Abel, I doubt that he took a 45 Glock and shot him between the eyes. Because I don't think they had invented them yet.
I don't know if he picked up a hoe. I don't know if he picked up a club or he picked up a stone. I don't know what he used, but I've got the idea that it's blunt force trauma that caused Abel his life. He could have pierced him. I don't know what it was. But I'm just simply saying this, that I imagine when Abel died, it was not just a bruising. It was not just a concussion, but his blood was shed, because it talks about that his blood's crying from the ground. Amen. And as I thought about that and thought about his blood being cried, here's a creature that has been broken. And God had made him whole. God had made him that his blood would flow right and stay in its proper veins, in its proper pathways. But Cain had broken that, and Cain had abused that, and Cain had caused this creature of God that God had made with his own hand, amen, that he had caused that creature to be broken into pieces, and that blood cried out that payment must be made. You ever seen those signs that say, you break, you pay? You walk in a place that's got things like we've got set up here. They've got some, maybe some antique things. They've got some pretty nice things. And they'll have a sign up. You break, you pay. Cain broke Abel. And the blood said, it's broke. And he's got to pay. Amen. Abel's blood decried his innocence and Cain's guilt. Amen. It requested, I believe, Abel's blood requested a curse be placed upon Cain, for he was guilty. A curse be placed upon that guilty party. Abel's innocence and Abel's blood announced that a price must be paid for that crime. God said it. In Cain's day, God let Abel leave with a mark, and God put a mark on Cain that every man would know. But on in the day of Noah, God said, if a man slays a man, then he's to be slain by man. Amen. God believes in capital punishment, by the way. Amen. We've got liberals running around that don't believe in capital punishment. They wouldn't kill a whale. They wouldn't kill an owl. They wouldn't kill a murderer. All they'd kill is babies. Amen. They're against capital punishment. Can I tell you that God never fussed anybody for killing animals, and God never fussed anybody for killing criminals, but God did say something about them babies. Amen. Amen. God did say that woe to him that brings offense or hurts or suffers pain to one of these little ones. He said they'd be better never to have been born. I say amen right there. Amen. But God, for capital punishment, Abel's blood cried out, punishment must come, vengeance must come, because somebody must pay for this crime. That's the blood of Abel. But the blood of Christ has something better to say. Amen. Amen. In the fact of Christ hanging on the cross, in the fact of Christ's blood being shed and his blood being poured out. By the way, it was not spilt. When you spill something, it's accidental. But Jesus laid his life down. Amen. If I knock that over accidentally, I've spilled it. But if I turn it over, I'm pouring it out. Listen, Jesus poured his life out for you and I. Amen. Amen. He poured his blood out. But in the fact of Christ hanging on the cross, I said Abel's death said that God's own creature had been bruised and had been abused and his blood had been shed. Jesus was not just God's own creature. He was God's own son. He was the only begotten son of God. And Jesus hanging on that cross says to me and you that God's own son has been abused, amen, and has been bruised and his blood's being shed for the sins of the whole world. Amen. This was not just, I'm talking about Calvary now, listen, was not just an act of violence against a man. It was an act of violence against God. Amen. Christ was not only of much more infinite value than Abel. Abel's just the son of Adam. Christ was the son of God. But he was not only of more value because that he was God's own son. He was not only more value because of his relationship with God. But he was of more value because he was more innocent. Abel was innocent. I don't know of one sin. The Bible doesn't mention one sin that Abel ever committed. Amen. But I know that Abel was a sinner. Amen. There are several men in the Bible that the Bible does not say what sins they committed. But we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that right? There's none good, knoweth not one, none good but God. Amen. Jesus was not just man, He was God. Amen. And so He was good. And Jesus, it said over and over and over again, He did no sin. Neither was guile found in His mouth. Amen. He was perfect and sinless. He was much more innocent even than Abel. And yet His blood was shed. But that blood cries out. And as the blood of Christ cries out from Calvary, it is of value. It is innocent blood. Amen. Matter of fact, turn to Matthew chapter number 27. I saw this and looked at it before, but it stood out to me again as I studied this message yesterday. Matthew chapter number 27 and verses 3 and 4. If you know 27, it's when our Lord Jesus has been delivered unto the high priest and how that Judas has betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Let's just jump back to verse 1. Do us good to read the text. The Bible says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put Him to death. And when they had bound Him, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed Him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. And brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed, look at this phrase, the innocent blood. Not just innocent blood, the only innocent blood that there ever was. Amen. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Amen. And so Judas himself, being the devil that he was, yet when he came to himself, when he recognized what he had done, Judas said, I'm guilty not only of betraying an innocent man, I'm guilty of betraying the most innocent man that's ever been. I'm guilty of betraying the innocent blood. Now, if the blood of Abel says price must be paid, if the blood of Abel says a curse must be laid on the man that's guilty, I wonder what the blood of Christ would say. But when you see Him hanging on the cross, you hear our Lord say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. I'm glad the blood of Abel has something to say, but the blood of Christ has something better, hallelujah, amen, to say. Amen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our Lord went to Calvary of His own power. He set His face as a flint. He could have stopped it. I sing that song sometimes. He could have called 10,000 angels. Amen. To destroy the world and set Him free. He could have, but He didn't. He chose to die for you and me. Amen. The blood of Jesus does not point to the guilty one. The blood of Jesus points to the innocent one. And the blood of Jesus says the price has been paid. The innocent can be pardoned. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The blood of Jesus has something much better to say than the blood of Abel. Amen. Look, secondly, I want you to think about the cry of the blood of Abel to God. Again, in Genesis 4:10, He says, "The blood, thy brother's blood crieth unto me." I'm thinking about that cry to God. Notice that Abel's blood spoke to God. I want you to get this now. Abel's blood spoke to God before Cain spoke to God. Matter of fact, I got this today, Brother Hall. Abel's blood spoke to God before God ever even spoke to Cain. Amen. Abel's blood was crying out to God saying, he's guilty. He's guilty. Before Cain ever lied about his guilt, and before God ever asked him about what he had done. Amen. You see, there was a wedge driven. That blood speaking to God drove a wedge between Cain and God. Now Cain's on the guilty. He was already a guilty sinner. Now he's got blood on his hand, the blood of an innocent one. And he's got the blood of Abel, and that blood cried out to God. And God, you know, that drove a wedge between Cain and God. And then when Cain refused to call on God, when God called out to Cain and said, what hast thou done? And Cain just shrugged him off. I know not. Why? What am I, my brother's keeper? That drove the wedge even deeper down and farther down. And by the way, that wedge would get deeper as long as Cain lived in his sinful condition. Amen. But the blood of Christ has something better to say. Amen. When I think about that he said, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Can I tell you that long before the sinner ever starts seeking God, long before the sinner ever speaks to God, that blood on the cross, that blood on Calvary has already been speaking to God. Amen. Even before God starts speaking to that sinner, that blood on Calvary already spoke to God about the sin of that sinner. And the price that has been paid. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Long before that sinner cries out for mercy and forgiveness, the blood on Calvary has already cried out for mercy and cried out for forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you this? It's not the voice of the sinner that brings mercy from God. Amen. It's the blood that speaketh better things that brings mercy to the sinner from God. Amen. Amen. I thought about this. I put this note here. Notice that the Scripture does not say that Christ's blood spoke better things. It does not say Christ's blood spake better things. Oh no, it said it speaketh. In other words, it said it's still speaking better things. Amen. That blood, I don't know exactly all about the blood, but I do know the blood is on the mercy seat. Not one drop of that blood perished. Not one drop of that blood ever faded and went away. Oh no, if his body saw not corruption, his blood saw not corruption as well. And that blood's on the mercy seat of heaven. And when God looks at me and you, he looks through the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. That blood has something to say. Amen. It's got better things to say. I believe it's telling you, me and you, that the blood of Christ is speaking to God the Father on behalf of sinners to this very day. Amen. Amen. The testimony of the blood to God. Let me give you secondly the testimony of the blood to man. I said to you that the blood of Abel did not cry out to Cain. But I have to believe that when Cain saw that blood, it said something to him. And when Cain remembered that blood, it had to say something to him. I mentioned to you this morning that it was the first human blood ever shed. They had animals slain before. It was the first human blood that I believe was ever shed. And that sight of Abel's blood cried back to Cain that Cain has done some things now that he can never take back. Amen. Listen, here's what people say. Oh, preacher, now I'm just going to sin a little bit. I'm not hurting nobody but myself. I'm telling you, friend, there'll be a point, there'll be a place that you'll do things that you can never forget. And you'll do things that'll hurt you and scar you in ways that even though you get forgiveness for it, that scar will remain. There'll be pain when those thoughts come back up. But not just pain for you, pain for others as well. Amen. Amen. In his anger, Cain rose up and struck a blow against his brother. His brother was not angry with him. If you notice the text, the Bible doesn't say that Abel got angry with Cain. It says that Cain got angry with Abel. That blow of Cain as he smote Abel was a blow against a man who had been friendly to him. A man who had done him no wrong, or anybody else, by the way. Amen. Amen. Abel not only had been friendly to him, Abel had been in close relation to him. He ought to have been the closest person to him, maybe outside of mom and dad. Amen. Let me just give a plug right here real quick. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about children, and maybe even adults too, but brothers and sisters, listen, you ought not be at odds with one another. There ought to be a close relationship there. Amen. I realize if you're saved and they're lost, that there may be some things that you can't fellowship with them like you can the saints of God. But especially in the home, when your children growing up, listen, you're not at odds with one another. You're not in competition with one another. I used to tell my boys all the time, we're on the same team. Amen. Let's work together and do things together for the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But Cain had rose up and smote a man that had been a friend to him. Amen. And a man that had been in close relation to him. Abel's blood cried his innocence and Cain's guilt. Amen. When Cain saw that blood, I'm sure he remembered Abel was innocent. He may have hated him, but he knew he hated him without a cause. Amen. He knew that Abel was innocent and that he was guilty. I believe it probably haunted Cain the rest of his life. Probably interrupted his sleep at nights sometimes. Probably caused his peace to dissipate at times throughout his entire life. And if Cain's in hell today, where I believe he is, I'm sure he's still saying, "Oh, I wish I could get this blood off my hands. I wish there's something I could do to get that blood off. I wish I'd have listened to God. I wish I'd have accepted that sacrifice and gone God's way instead of my way. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You'll end up in destruction. That's where Cain, I believe, has ended up. Talking about the cry of the blood of Abel to Cain, to man. Let me say secondly, the cry of the blood of Jesus to man. He said, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. When I think about the blood of Christ and what it has to say, the Bible says it says better things. Better things than that of Abel. When I see Abel's blood, I said I believe it brought horror to the mind and to the heart of Cain, the guilty party. But the sight and the remembrance of the blood of Christ brings peace and comfort and hope, amen, to the sinner, amen. To realize that hanging on that cruel tree was a man that had done no wrong, and yet he died there for those of us that had done wrong, amen. When we see his blood, we know that he willingly gave his blood, amen. He offered his blood for you and I. You and I were not there on the day that he died. We weren't there in that crowd. She sang that song, and she's right. Somewhere in that crowd was our voice, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Amen. Somewhere in that crowd. By the way, there's people sitting here that are saved, or people sitting here that are unsaved. That there's a time in your life when God spoke to you and said, "You ought to come. You ought to come and accept my son." And you said, "No, I'll take Barabbas. I'll take Barabbas." You say, "I never said that." Well, maybe I don't know what the sin was. Maybe it was alcohol. Maybe it was a woman. Maybe it was gambling. I don't know what it was. But whatever the sin was, you decided, "I'll take the bottle instead of taking Christ. I'll take my parties instead of taking Christ. I'll take my pride instead of taking Christ." And you're just as guilty as those men were on that day when they nailed our Savior to the cross. Amen. The primitives sing a song. I don't know. I think Reagan... Riddle wrote the song. I think he did. But I heard him give the testimony one time that they got the song, and the song came from an illustration that he heard Charles Worley give. Charles Worley, pastor of Providence Road Baptist Church in Maiden, North Carolina, did. I guess he still does. And he said he heard Brother Worley telling his story that there was a true story. Another man said, a preacher said that he'd preached on Calvary on Sunday morning. And he went home and said he got in his easy chair, and he laid back to, he was reading the scripture, and he dozed off for a nap. And in his nap, he had a dream. And he said in that dream, he could see the soldiers as they took that cat of nine tails and smote the back of our Savior. And he said in that dream that he saw that soldier's fist clenching that cat of nine tails and coming back to slap our Savior on the back. He saw our Savior jerk, and he saw the blood come down and the flesh to be ripped, and he saw the pain and the agony, and he heard the cries. And he said as that soldier pulled back, he said all I could see was the back of him. He said as that soldier drew back again, he said in my dream I grabbed that soldier by the arm and I said, "Please stop." And he said, I turned him around. And when I turned him around, he said, I was staring into my own eyes. I was looking into my own face. He said, that soldier was me that was crucifying our Lord. I'm telling you, that's right. You and I are guilty of the blood of Christ. But can I tell you, when we see that blood, it doesn't just remind us of our guilt. It reminds us of His innocence. And it reminds us that He didn't just lose His life. He laid His life down. Amen. And He freely gave it for you and I. Amen. Rather than speaking horror, amen, it can bring peace and comfort to the mind and the heart of the sinner, the repentant sinner. Amen. The cry of the blood of Abel, back again, I'm talking about to man. That cry of the blood of Abel. Abel's blood cried out to God and caused God to ask Cain a question. Here's what that question said. What hast thou done? The blood, talking to God, caused God to ask Cain a question. What hast thou done? That question was not one of request. It was one of accusation. He's accusing Cain. He didn't say, what has happened? He said, you've done something. You've done something. And wanted him to admit. I want to tell you, the blood of Christ has something even better to say than the blood of Abel. Amen. Christ's blood cries out to God. Christ's blood cries out to God, and that blood causes God to say to every sinner, listen to me, every sinner, whether he's a male or female, whether he's a grown man, a grown woman, or a little boy, a little girl, every sinner, God asks this question, what hast thou done? Because the blood of Jesus Christ causes God to ask that question. Amen. But can I tell you, that's not a question of accusation. No, it's a question of request. Will you not repent? Will you not turn around? Will you not turn from where you're going and the route you're going and the things you're doing? Will you not turn to the Savior? Amen. It's one that ought to bring, and is aimed, I believe, to bring repentance and bring forgiveness to that sinning soul. Amen. It's like this. If I were to walk up, and I don't have a lot in here, but if I were to walk up, if I knew, for example, if I knew Brother Houston had a debt, I know he don't have any debts. I'm kidding. If I knew he had a particular debt that was worrying him pretty bad, and I walked up to him and I said, okay, how much you need? With my wallet open? I wouldn't do that to everybody, Brother Steve. But I walk up with my wallet open and said, all right, how much do you need? That's what God's doing when he comes to the sinner and he says, what have you done? His point saying, the price has been paid. I've already paid the price. Why don't you come to Christ and accept his payment? You don't have to lay in your sin. You don't have to waller in your sin. You don't have to continue in your sin. There's a Savior that paid the price. And it's as if God's got his wallet out saying, what do you need? Amen. How much do you owe? Amen. He's willing to pay. But listen to me. You've got to confess the totality of the debt. Amen. You can't just come up with a little bit and say, all right, I just need to quit drinking. I just need to quit cursing. I just need to get in church. I just need to straighten up a little. Oh, no, you got to confess the totality. What is your sin? I'm a sinner. That's what's wrong with sinners. It's not so much what have they done. It's what they are. Amen. It's what they are. They're a sinner. Because of their lifestyle. And by the way, their lifestyle is because of what they are. It's just what they are. Amen. Well, turn to Romans chapter number 5. And while you turn there, I'll make a statement here. I'm thinking about the horror of Cain's remembrance of the blood of Abel. Let me say that the mention of our sins might bring a voice of accusation back to our memory. Amen. Sometimes memory will haunt you even though God's forgiven you. Amen. Sometimes you have a harder time forgiving yourself than God the Father has forgiven you. Amen. And the fact that your sin's remembered, the fact that your sin, thinking about the blood might bring up, and the mention there, bring the voice, that great voice of accusation against you. Can I tell you that our Lord Jesus has a greater voice? Amen. He has a greater voice, and his voice can be heard above all other voices. We're in Romans chapter 5. I want you to look at verse number 20. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That's what condemns you and convicts you of your sin. Amen. It's the law of God. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Can I tell you what he said here? There was a time sin abounded. There was a time when you was running neck deep in sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ does not just reach to your neck. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll wash you all over and make you wholly clean. Hallelujah. Amen. And wherever sin was, grace did much more abound. And when the law brought condemnation, the blood of Christ cries out to the Father and says, Father, forgive them. Amen. And it pronounces forgiveness and mercy and cleansing to those that are washed in His blood. Amen. Now back to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm almost done. Hebrews chapter number 12. Verse number 24. I want you to notice something there. I'm going to get Sister Elizabeth, if she'll come on to the piano. And rather than having a congregational song, I'm going to try to sing one tonight. I'll say something about it in a moment if she'll come on. I talked to her about it earlier this morning. We've not practiced it. It's not a performance, but it'll just be a song. I hope it'll be a blessing. But Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 24, a phrase, the text that I used, and to Jesus. Well, let's go ahead and back up so we can get this. This sentence goes way, way back to verse number 18. Let's read it. For ye are not come to the mount. He's talking about if you've come to Christ now. Ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire. Nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, hallelujah. That's where you come. You didn't go to the mountain where the law was thundered. You didn't go to the tabernacle where the blood was shed of bulls and goats, but you came farther than the mountain and further than the tabernacle or the temple. You've come to Jesus Himself. Amen. But, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Here's the point I want to make. That blood's not speaking for you unless it's been sprinkled, unless it's been applied. The blood's no good in the basin. The blood's no good in the pan. The blood's no good still dripping from the cross. That blood must be on your soul. That blood must cover your sin. You've got to find yourself under the blood in order to get any help. Amen. It's got to be the blood of sprinkling that gets on your soul. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Sister Woodard sings a song that was written by Walt Mills. We play it on the radio. If she'd have been here tonight, I was going to have her sing it. I felt like it ought to be sung. I went home and listened to it, wrote the words down, and I'm going to try to sing it. As I sing, if the Lord spoke to you with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if the Lord spoke to you, why don't you come to the altar and just do business with God, whatever it is that you need to do. The song says, let the blood of Calvary speak for me. Let the blood of Calvary speak for me. You listen. Trust and bless your heart. When the harvest has been gathered. No, I'm off key. I'm sorry. Hit my note. One, harvest has been gathered. All my work is done. When the last mile has traveled and I've sung my final song, if I'm called to give an answer at heaven's judgment seat, then let the blood of Calvary speak for me. May He write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sin. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I plead. Let the blood of Calvary speak for me. There may be some friends who'd witness and speak a word so kind, but their voice would seem so feeble at such a solemn time. But there's a voice that calls for mercy ringing through eternity. So let the blood of Calvary speak for me. write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sin. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I plead. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I plead. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me. She's going to play. Is Calvary's blood speaking for you? You trying to speak for yourself? Are you saying, Lord, look at the works I've done. Lord, look at, I'm a good person. I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. I've not done a lot of things. I'm going to tell you, the blood of Abel and the blood of Adam in your veins cries out to God and says, guilty, guilty. But the blood of Christ on Calvary says, Father, forgive them. Yes. God spoke to you. There's some that's come and prayed. Do you need to come? Listen, if you're here today, and I felt like this morning God was speaking to somebody. And I said it in the prayer room. I didn't say it to everybody. I said it when I was praying. I said, Lord, I believe you're dealing with somebody this morning, and I believe you dealt with them through the week. I don't believe it just started this morning. I believe God was dealing with somebody through the week. I want to ask you a question. Why? Why not just surrender? Why not just come and say, Lord, I don't have anything to plead. I don't have anything. I'll just trust what Jesus did for me. You don't understand it. I'm sure you don't. I didn't understand it. But he didn't say you got to understand it. He said you got to believe. Amen. You got to believe. You got to accept the fact that Christ died for you. Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and how it speaks to my soul. I want to thank you that it's alive and well and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I want to thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God takes that sword of the Spirit and does war against the devil and war in the heart of man. And Lord, I pray that you've cut somebody. I pray, dear God, that you've wounded somebody, wounded their pride, wounded their sinful nature. And dear God, they'll repent and come to Christ and be saved before it's too late. Lord, I don't want to see, it's not just that I want to see people move. I want to see people saved. I don't want to see them die in their sin and go to hell. I don't want to hear stories like we heard. Said somebody just had a bad accident, last I heard. They didn't want anything to do with God. They didn't want anything to do with prayer. Oh, Lord, bring them before it gets too late. Do that work, Lord, and get the glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. See, what I'm going to have Brother Doug come. Let's sing a verse or two of Just As I Am, if you would. Just As I Am. In a sense, changing gears, but I believe the Spirit of God can handle that. I really believe God's dealing with somebody. I'm just waiting on God. He's trying to extend it for no other reason, just I believe it's the will of God. God's dealing with somebody. Quit fighting against God. Quit resisting. I don't know what you're thinking. If I did, I'd try to address it. Sometimes people have the idea and they think, well, you know, I don't know that I could hold out. Or I've seen people go for it and they didn't get it. I don't know if I'll get it. Listen. Your business is to do business with God. And if you'll do business with God, matter of fact, I'll tell you this. Whether or not you can get it the first time, He can give it the first time. And if you'll just trust Him totally, He will give it the first time. Amen. When somebody comes forward and they don't get it, that ain't God's fault. It's their fault. It may be misunderstanding on their part. I'm not laying the blame and saying, oh, they did it wrong. It may be misunderstanding on their part. But it's not God's fault that they didn't get it. God speaking to you, would you just come just as you are? Come to Christ and trust Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.